This is the NFL Play Football Podcast, and I'm Jeff Fisher of High School Football America. Today we are in Memphis, Tennessee to speak with longtime Whitehaven High School head coach Rodney Salisbury, entering his third decade at the helm of the program. And just before the holiday break, he got some huge news, learning that he is one of 25 coaches next month that will be in the inaugural Tampa Bay Buccaneers National Coaching Academy. Six of the 25 finalists from the high school ranks. You can learn more by going to highschoolfootballamerica.com. And Coach also got another big thrill earlier this year when the AFCA honored him with its Power of Influence Award. Coach is here on the line right now to talk to us. Thanks for taking the time, Coach.
All right, thank you so much, Jeff, for giving me the opportunity to just share the great things about high school football.
So let's start with the first thing, which is a couple of weeks ago getting, you know, a call from the Buccaneers about a National Coaching Academy. And when I saw, I forgot they were doing it. They called me at one point and said, Jeff, promote this a little bit. And then I guess that was in October. And now we've got 25 guys, one of them being you, in May, they're going to go down to the Bucs training facility and that and learn from the top of the game. Tell me a little bit about why you decided you want to be involved in this, and then the excitement when you found out you were going to be one of 25.
Oh, it was just a whirlwind. Obviously, been doing the thing for a long time, and been coaching for a long time, and focusing, having tunnel vision on what you're doing and being where your feet are. I just wanted to really investigate the opportunity to learn from the highest level. So when the information was posted about the Coaches Academy that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was putting on, I filled out the application. I think it was back in like October, November, like the right time you said. So didn't really know what it was going to entail, but was just excited about the opportunity to possibly learn at the highest level. And we always dream of being in the NFL, so I was like, hey, let's take a chance and let's look at it. So it was a very process. It was a process-oriented application that a lot of things we had to do to go through to get it done. And I'm just so grateful that the opportunity did come. So, again, just glory to God for just getting the opportunity. So I did it so long ago that you really didn't know when you're going to get the information or get the news. So when we did find out, it was probably about a month or so, 2 months back, they kind of gave us an inkling that they'll be coming to make a decision. And when they finally announced it, it was just a very gratifying to reach that. Again, they said a total of 1,500 applicants, and they chose 25. It definitely makes you feel grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's just such a wonderful thing. And I wanted to talk about this because all of the NFL teams are reaching more and more into the roots of the game. You're in Tennessee, of course, and the Titans have their Coach of the Week program. They've got their Coach of the Year, and then they've got a nominee for the Shula Award and all that. But it's kind of a broad general question to you, which is, you know, what does it mean to you as a guy that's been in the game for I guess you're probably two and a half decades at this point there at the school. What does it mean to you when you know that the top level of the game is reaching down to a guy like you to be remembered to say, hey, yep, we play on Sundays, but we also appreciate those Friday night guys?
Well, let you know that the game is still just that. It's still a game. And we say football is a microcosm of life. It can really teach you life skills. And if you really hone into the game, it can teach you so many things of dealing with adversity. So it's just a great thing to know that they know the essence of the game is high school football. Yeah. They know that at the grassroots level, that's how the kids ultimately matriculate up to the NFL. So being able to go back and grab some high school coaches to go and teach them what goes on at the NFL level, it definitely was some gratifying news to hear.
Has it made you kind of go back into the recesses of your mind and remind yourself why you got into the profession? Because as I tell all of, you know, our listeners, our fans, to me, and there's a lot of important roles in the world, but the coaching profession to me is right up at the top because of the number of young men and now young ladies that get touched along the way. And have you thought about it? And does it put a big old smile on your face? Go, well, maybe that idea I had, you know, several decades ago was a pretty good one.
Oh, definitely. It's one of the things that we don't take lightly. Football, as a football coach, you have an opportunity to influence so many young people. And if coaches realize that, they really should really hone in on that, because that's really going to help us change our world and change the communities that we live, because young men should be the leaders. They should be in the forefront, and now the young ladies as well, because we work hand in hand, male and female, together to try to grow our communities. But we do need strong men. And the coach, if you look at any community, the coach touches more young men than anyone else as far as having the sphere of influence over them, being able to direct them properly, give them the proper guidance, the proper morality, way to operate in the world, how to deal with adversity. So coaches have a serious obligation that they have to uphold. So we just really, and it made you think and just realize that how many guys I've helped become adults and become fathers, become husbands, become leaders, and ultimately some have become coaches. So I think that it makes me feel good to see that some thought enough of me as a coach that they wanted to be a coach.
Rodney Salisbury on the line, Whitehaven High School in Memphis, Tennessee. I noticed on the AFC press release talking about your the Power of Influence Award, it says over 200 former players have gone on to play college football, and 15 have gone on to become coaches. So I'm gonna take the coaching thing in two parts here. The first part I'm going to ask you is about what you've learned about yourself since going into the profession and putting a whistle around your neck. What's the biggest thing you've learned about yourself?
That football, no matter how complex we try to make it, is still a simple game. And if you just keep the fundamentals in the forefront of your mind, you can do well in football, and ultimately you can do well in life. And that's the thing that I really just hang my hat on, is that if you keep things basic and keep the main thing, that life skill is going to help you all the way around. So it's something that we take pride in here, is we're trying to use football as a vehicle of change and not let football use us, because football is a tough game. It's hard on your body. It really is a taxing game if you play it ultimately at the highest level. So why not get the most out of the game and let the game change your life and open up doors of opportunity all across the country if possible?
Yeah, well said, well said. And then the 15 guys that have played, you know, for you and then have gone to become coaches, or I guess maybe they were on your staffs. What's the suggestion you give to these young men that go on to do that? Because the game has changed, right, over three decades. I mean, it's still the same X's and O's, but it's changed a little bit. It's no longer a 4 or 5 month-a-year job. It's now round the clock. You know, 365 days. What's some of the sage advice that you give people going into the profession?
Oh, one is focus on the kids. Focus on the kids. Focus on developing quality young men, because winning is a byproduct of doing things the right way. Again, I'm an avid Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I'm a fan ultimately of Coach Tomlin, and he's the head coach of the Steelers. So some of those Tomlinisms, they roll off the tongue. But those are some of the things that are kind of the nature of the organization with the Steelers. The standard is the standard, those things. And we run to coaching. You know, we don't run away from coaching. We run to coaching. And coaching has an opportunity to affect change on people's lives. So we try to just focus on that. So I tell those young guys, is don't focus on just winning football games. Focus on winning lives. And if you focus on winning lives, the football wins will come.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Some sage advice there. Rodney Salisbury, he is the head coach at Whitehaven High School. Just completed his 20th year as the head coach, 26th overall at the school in Memphis. Record's pretty darn good. 185-53, a couple of 6A state titles in the state of Tennessee. That's the largest classification. That was back in 2012 and 16. First championships in the program's history, and then was named by the AFCA as the winner of the Power of Influence Award. Like I said at the top, Coach, you know, the Buccaneers came calling a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months or 3 months ago, whatever it is now at this point. The AFCA, just the bedrock of the coaching profession, honors you. I mean, what was it like when you got that call to hear that they were putting you into some very select category, a select category?
Yeah, fortunately, I had the year before, I was a finalist for the award the year before. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of got wind of it, of the power of that award, the Power of Influence Award, just to see the gravity and the gravity of what it would mean to get that Power of Influence Award. So being one of the five finalists the previous year was very humbling, So to get nominated again the next year and then ultimately winning the award and, again, being a national award, it's no words could just say how it felt. The gratification of getting those flowers as you live. But I just hang my hat on it, you know, just grateful for my wife, my kids who've been along this journey with me, and all the players had the opportunity to touch. That award means that I was able to pour into other people's lives and having positive influence on them. So, again, just glory to God for giving me the opportunity to be faithful and stay diligent and be planted where my feet are and having the luxury of just being here at home at Whitehaven and just changing the lives of people within our community. So, again, it was very humbling, and just seeing the magnitude of the award is something they still don't have a grasp on, even as you think about it today.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've heard so many things from some from people across the state that I know in the state of Tennessee saying so many awesome things about you. It's well-deserved. One of the things I wanted to talk about, too, and this is happening in so many states, and it's a great thing to see as well. You were talking about Coach Tomlinson. Coach Tomlin, excuse me. I was reading something here. What I wanted to ask you, which is, I know in 2020, you co-founded the Minority Coaches Association of Tennessee, and this is happening in many, many states. I know it's happening down here in Georgia, where I live, where the minority coaches are getting together and forming associations. Talk a little bit about that and the importance and how important it is for young men that want to get into the profession to have an organization like the one you founded.
Oh, yeah, support is necessary. Again, anytime you're trying to break glass ceilings that are seemingly there in the profession where you want to be able to promote and prepare guys to move forward in the profession, having a group of like-minded people is always better because you can bounce information off each other. And actually, the Georgia Coach Association, Minority Coach Association, led by Ma Tinker, was kind of the impetus to us, Dwight Hunley and I, starting the Minority Coach Association in Tennessee. So he's been doing a great job down there in Georgia, and we're like, we needed that in Tennessee. So the pandemic kind of led us to, we started spearheading that, and it just took off from there. And even going to a grander scale, Mike Loxley started the National Coalition of Minority Football Coaches nationally for that same reason. Now, we used to have the BCA, the Black Coach Association, just started, but it kind of went away. So having another organization where we can talk as minorities, that's of all different races, minorities meaning men and women who are not equally represented in the sport, in the coaching ranks and in the executive ranks, and trying to figure out how we can break those glass ceilings and share information and know that we are worthy for those positions. And it's just all about opportunity and getting the exposure. So football is a great game. We say the huddle in the locker room is the most integrated place in America. And if everybody could just be in the locker room and be in the huddle, we would not have a lot of the issues that we have within this country with some of the relations that we have, because you learn how to be a teammate in the huddle in the locker room. So our emphasis is all those different organizations. This is just to bond together, to give people that comfort, to be able to share their information, learn as much as they can, and then to show themselves worthy when they do get the opportunity to grow in the profession, be it at collegiate level, at professional level, or even in the high school level, because high school football is growing even more today, and it's highly competitive as well as far as in the coaching ranks.
Yeah, and an amen to the locker room, Coach. That was just so, so well said. No doubt about that. Rodney Salisbury is on the line, the Whitehaven head coach in Memphis, Tennessee. You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, especially with the AFCA award. You know, it's kind of a team award, right? Because you're the head coach, the HC gets all the interviews, all the accolades, some of the crap too, as I always like to say. along the way. You might get a little bit of that, but you touched upon your family, and I know you've coached your son, and I'm just curious, you know, if you want to take a few minutes here to talk about your family, and they're, I don't know if allows the right word, Coach, but you know what I mean? If you don't have that family support, you can't go out and put the time in that you do over these past couple of decades. So talk about the importance of family as it relates to your success in the profession and awards like this.
Yeah, first and foremost, things, a lot of times you learn through adversity. And a lot of and people understand that losing is a part of life. Mm-hmm. But you never lose, you learn. So if you know that you're going to make mistakes, you have to learn from those mistakes. And early on in the coaching, we didn't have this thing right, you know, so you're pouring too much time into it, this and not balancing family life and coaching life, and it didn't lead to proper family life, you know, so it wasn't conducive to that. So I'm so grateful now that in meeting my wife, my current wife, Alicia, we talked and we found the perfect way to blend in, and she's a part of everything that I do. And that's one of the things. So as coaches, that's one of the things you want to find. You want to find, if you're going to be in the coaching profession, it'd be great to find a wife that loves football as well. They don't have to know the game. They just have to love what the game does. The game leads young men and young ladies to better situations. And that's coaching in any profession, coaching in general. So it leads to growing young people to be better people. So my wife's an educator as well. She's the principal, assistant principal at elementary school, so she works around kids. So we just found a perfect way that we can just use this game as me coaching to help young people and help people in general to grow. So it's been great. So having a great wife beside you is something that's essential, and none of this would have been done without her. So I must say that. And it allowed us to grow our children because our children grew up in the game. They grew up around football. Even if they chose to play or not play, my oldest son, when my wife and I got married, he was in the band. He really wasn't playing football, but he was in the band. But band is really a part of football, especially what we do here at Whitehaven. Our band is just the biggest part of the game as we are. So he was a band, and now he's currently a band director. Now he's went from the band. Now he's directing bands. So then my son, my namesake. He came and he played football here for me, so it was so great to have him here and being able to coach him, and sometimes having to stay away from him as a coach because dad and coach, that mix sometimes gets a little tough. But you know, him growing in the game, and now he actually is coaching. He's a graduate assistant at Tulane University down in New Orleans. So him being able to make a career or focus on making a career out of coaching, it makes you feel good. As a father, the next son, Trevor, again, he played football all growing up, but we got to high school. He wanted to focus on running track because he was like, he just told me, he was like, Dad, my body ain't prepared for all this football stuff because he didn't grow. He was like, instead of me getting hit, I just want to run. And so he went, he was able to run track and be very successful in track. Actually went to college and had an opportunity to run track in college. But just going a different direction now. He works, he's as a CDL license at 21 years old, just turned 22. He's over the road driving. He's literally been, in the past few months, he's been coast to coast driving 18 wheelers from California to Florida. So he's seeing the world right now through the logistics arena, and that's something that he loves and desires. And lastly, my daughter, who's the baby in the bunch, she grew up around athletes, and she played sports growing up. And she actually works at UT football in the graphic design department. And she has to get her major in graphic design, but I don't think she wants to stay in football all the time. So she wants to probably just go into marketing. But football is something she has been engulfed in, and it's helped finance some of her college. She actually got a stipend. She gets paid to work for UT football now. She's at practice, and she's calling me, talking about pro days and things of that nature. So it's something that it's a bond that grew through the sport of football that you can't miss. So as a coach, it makes you feel great that your family was engaged and involved in the game with you, and it helped grow them up. Because I make sure that I don't miss anything that they do. And I tell my coaches, if your children are doing something, you need to go. If they're having – you only got one chance to be a father. You got plenty of chance to coach football. So you need to make sure that if your child's got – if your children got games, they got whatever, track meets, anything like that, you need to make sure that you're there because your presence speaks so much more than just you monetarily supporting them. They want to see you there. So I try to make it as much as possible that my coaches understand that you need to be there to support your kids. And we make that opportunity available for them because we can coach, we can get your job covered, but we can't be a father for you, so you need to be present. So hopefully we're being models for our young men of how to be a husband and how to be a father, and hopefully that can help change our community by getting men in their rightful place in the home.
Mm-hmm. Boy, a lot of nuggets in there you just laid down, Coach. Thank you for that little segment there. It's always important for me when I'm doing these interviews to give the coaches the opportunity to talk about family because, you know, a lot of times that's just lost on people. They don't realize how much time you're giving up from your family to do it. So you put it very succinctly there in a very nice way. Folks, I'm talking with Rodney Salisbury. He's the head coach at Whitehaven High School in Memphis, and he's just done some wonderful things there beyond X's and O's and honored this year by the AFCA, a Power of Influence Award. He's going to be in May in Florida at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers inaugural coaching academy, which is going to be fun. And as we go away here, Coach, we're going to talk a little Whitehaven football specifically. Obviously, 2.5 decades, we can't get everybody's name in here. We can't get every team in here. We can't do that. But what are some of the things, and I'm not saying you're retiring by taking a look back, but you know what I mean? If you take a look back over the time, what puts a smile on your face?
Oh, the biggest smile is just when I see our kids have success. And that's one of the things. As a player here at Whitehaven, my head coach, Stan Collins, instilled in us is that, again, we want to use football as a means to an end so you can become a productive member of society and give back to the community. So that was a stated goal that we had as a program back when I played, and he's had that since he started to coach in 1979, and he went all the way to 1995, 1996 is his last year coaching. So for that long period of time, he stated that mission. The next head coach that came beyond him was Vincent Hunter, who is currently our principal, who also played here, graduated with my sister in 1982. When he left and went to administration, one of my former teammates, Maurice Harris, who is currently director of football operations, director of high school recruiting at Auburn University, he became the head coach, and he played with me here, and then I took over the reins from him. So we've had a legacy here at Whitehaven of the coach being a former player, and that's something we want to continue. So seeing our players that come back and coach, that come back and are productive, again, we have police officers, lieutenants on the fire department, engineers, lawyers, people of all different walks of life. The head strength coach at Illinois, Tenarius Wright, is one of my former players. I have two associate athletic directors, one at Middle Tennessee, Larry Maples, one at Vanderbilt, John Kelly. So it's people that are in all different walks of life. The head strength trainer at the University of Texas in Austin is Darrell Faulkner, who is one of my former players. So people in all these it's stuff other than football that you can do and have successful lives. And just seeing those guys have success. Again, having current football coaches that coach in the area that play for me, that's what makes me smile, is just seeing that the labor that we put out there on the field did not go for naught. These young men are now husbands, are now fathers, are now productive members of society, and they're finding ways to give back just the same. So that's the thing that makes me smile. From ear to ear. And one thing I didn't mention, I talked about Mike Loxley with the National Coalition of Minority Football Coaches. Mm-hmm. They actually have a program that they started with the UFL where they have a high school coach in every market that's going to work with the UFL team in their area. And I was blessed to get the opportunity to work with the Memphis Showboats here in Memphis. So that season actually just started this past weekend.
Yes, sir.
The first game here locally will be this week. So it's so many opportunities that are out here with the game of football where you can expand your knowledge and really get a chance to influence young people. So I just challenge people, man, use this game of football to help change lives and we can really put our nation on the right path if we just focus on doing the right thing.
I used that R word, retirement, a little bit earlier. You are not even close to retirement. You're working harder than you were maybe as a youngster, it sounds like.
Again, God is blessing where he's giving us some busy times right now. So we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, though, Jeff. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We can see it.
Oh,
we're just not there yet.
I love it. Ronnie Salisbury here. We're going to wrap things up with, we're going to give a little sneak peek of things, and then I'll wrap up with one last question. So what's 2024 look like for the Whitehaven football program? You guys have spring ball there in Tennessee, obviously, probably have worked hard in the off season in the weight room. What are you thinking about this version? What's this going to be, year 21 for you?
Yeah, be year 21, going into year 21 as the head coach. Again, I'm excited. We had a very young team last year. Actually got snake bit a little bit by injuries as well. So again, that's what adversity is the best teacher. So 5-5 is hard to say for me, because it's hard to say, but it also is great to embrace the challenge of improvement. So I want to really embrace that challenge of getting where, because we had some close games there that could have went one way or the other. But that's the learning experience. So really, really excited about next year. I have a sophomore group that is dynamic. Again, we're very young, and we looked up and we had 7 sophomores on the field. That's tough in 6A football to be playing that many young people.
Oh, yeah.
But them taking them lumps then will be beneficial to us this year. I have a small senior class this year, but that junior class is loaded. And I'm really excited about the freshman group and the incoming freshman group. We have a great group of 8th graders in our area, and we're just excited about the future that we're building. So I'm excited to get back to it. We'll have spring practice the middle of April to the 1st of May, right prior to me leaving to go down to Tampa for the Coaches Academy. We'll have spring practice, be able to get out there and get on the field and talk about those 2 favorite things in football, blocking and tackling. So that's what's going to be our focus for the spring. People say, what y'all going to do in the spring? We're going to block and we're going to tackle.
That hasn't changed.
It has not changed. So we can focus on those 2 things and learn them well. I'm really excited about the things we can do this year, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, and folks, just to put it in perspective, if you didn't hear earlier, lifetime head coaching record is 185-53. So if he had 5 in that 53, you can imagine how few of those he's had. And as I've always said, Coach, right, when you talk to guys like yourself that have those really great records, you're probably able to talk about every loss and remember that like it was yesterday versus all the wins, right? Those L's stick in your head a little bit more.
Oh, they linger sometimes. My wife says a little too long.
I hear that. So the question going away, Coach, it's just kind of like I like to have fun with it. It's kind of like you're in a room, right, but nobody knows you're there. And you got a whole table of your former players, you know, all across the spectrum from 20 years ago to most recent, and they're talking about Coach Salisbury there and just kind of joking and laughing and having a good time, but they can't say. So what would you like to hear coming out of those young men's mouths about you?
Well, one thing is I hope that they would say is, I'm glad I had an opportunity to play for Coach. The things that he taught me helped me in what I'm doing right now. That's one of the things I just love, is that the words that I spoke to them, the encouragement that we gave them. And one, I want them to look back and have fun thinking about the time that we spent together and have a little joy in their heart. And do you remember this? And do you remember that? And talking about the successes and sometimes the failures that were funny, you know, those things. So just wanted them to have a joyous time talking about the lessons that they were learned. And it's probably be a little bit of some of those little quips that they'll probably remember. You remember when Coach said this and Coach said that, some of those things that will probably be a little comical. Because, again, as coaches, sometimes we have to come from the hip and have some little sayings that we might say to grab children's attention. So I'm pretty sure they have a few of those things that they have under their belt that they probably wouldn't want me to hear that they remember. but just knowing that they say that, hey, I'm glad I had the opportunity to play for Coach, and some of the things he said to me changed my life and put me in a better position to make a better future for my family. So that's what I would hope to hear, them saying those stories. Because I got some of the young men that I told them, I was like, hey, man, you need to marry that girl. Hey, you need to make sure that you take care. And they listened. So it was just great to have that influence and let them know, and just like, hey, I've been where you've been. If you listen, I can help get you where you want to go.
Wow, this half hour has just flown by, Coach. So much good stuff in there for people. And we have so many coaches that listen to our podcast regularly. Man, there's something in there, whether you've been around the game for decades or whether you've been around it for, you know, 10 days as a coach. Coach had some stuff in there for you. Personally, I want to thank you for what you do for the young people of the world. You've made an impact, and I know you're not done, as you said. You got a lot more to do, and, you know, lastly, just congratulations on the success here with the AFCA award. Again, you didn't start out to do it, but that comes to people that do good and are around for a little bit, and I bet you're going to have some fun down in Tampa Bay, so have fun with that, and thank you for taking the time with me.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and again, we're just grateful, and I appreciate the time.
That's the NFL Play Football Podcast. I'm Jeff Fisher of High School Football America.